Shalom to the Bride of Christ worldwide. We want to say welcome again to another wonderful time on Ask the Pastor. And looking at everything, I know a lot of us actually missed us, or actually have been saying what's been going on. And we are glad to be back once again after celebrating the Bride TV at 8 on the 1st of May. So, let's remember that you can always call in, you can send in your message as a text message or via WhatsApp. And it's very important to take notes that you are not to call in for prayers, and you're not actually to call in to actually ask for interpretation for your dreams. Whatever all we're doing here is to look into the scriptures, get scriptural answers to biblical questions. And this is a platform for Christians to have their eyes of understanding opened by the word of God. I remain Brother Godson Uba, and it's a wonderful time. And with me is no other person than our beloved daddy, who is also a friend to a lot of us, a brother, and a teacher of the word of God, Pastor Moses Alu. God bless you, sir.
God bless you. Shalom, our wonderful brethren in Bright TV once again. Today is a Bible study time. We are here to answer questions. Like Uba said, to ask, to give scriptural answers to biblical questions.
Yes,
that's what we're here, we'll try to do. And it's also an opportunity for you to call in, and if there is anything scriptural thing we are misplacing, then you can also give us your understanding. We may be wrong. We are not claiming we know everything. But make sure that you are scriptural based. We'll try by all means to be as sincere as possible to help you understand this divine agenda for salvation. That's the whole purpose of this program and the whole purpose of the Bride Television as a broadcast medium for this ministry. So stay tuned, and we are believing God that God will open your eyes of understanding, that sitting down wherever you are joining us today, you will not regret the time you sacrificed to be with us this period, and that the light of God will shine upon you and grant you more understanding of his word in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So shalom to the Bride of Christ worldwide, and remain blessed this evening.
Amen. All right. We would actually, if you joined us on Sunday, you would know that we actually looked at the word of God from a perspective that, yes, it's, you would say it's commonly preached, but there was something more personal if you actually listen to the message. And it's really something that every Christian to actually look deep into. So that actually brings me to the first question I would like to ask you, sir. What is it based on the things happening around in the world generally, or based on what you see Christians, not just the world generally, going through, that actually brought about the inspiration?
The inspiration for that message is, yeah, like you said, when you observe what is happening in Christendom, the same setting we see in the Bible in John chapter 6, 70. We are called disciples of Jesus, close people to him, following him up and down. But they didn't know who he was. If they knew who he was, then why did they go back? You see, and that is the reason why Jesus asked those disciples, even the 12 of them, who do men say I am? Because it is on the rock of that revelation of who he is that he builds his church.
Amen.
When I hear people say they backslid, when I hear people say they left, they've gone back to the world, when I hear see people, you know, joking with the name of Christ, when I see people commercializing the gospel, when I see people calling the name of the Lord in vain, when I see people, you know, bastardizing this faith, it is nothing but a reflection of their understanding.
Amen.
When people come to Christ and set up ministries to have food to eat, it is an understanding of who this Jesus is.
Amen.
And I thought, do they know who Jesus is? The truth is that my God became my Savior.
Amen.
And so the people need to know how my God became my Savior, which Amen. Is a sermon topic.
Yes, sir.
How my God became my Savior. Now, the day you get to know that this Jesus that hung on the cross was the creator of the heavens and the earth, Amen. A great mystery, there is a different way you relate with Amen. Him. And that's what we want to try to establish by Amen. Such sermons.
Amen. Studying the word recently, studying the word more on the aspect of grace, we get to know that grace goes beyond just praying about it. Because I think it's either Peter or John who was talking about grace and peace be multiplied unto you.
Exactly.
By the knowledge of Christ Jesus.
Because because grace will only be multiplied.
So prayer is not enough.
By a knowledge.
Amen.
It is a knowledge. Knowing who Jesus is, Amen. Knowledge is the foundation for our faith.
Amen.
It is upon it he builds the church.
Amen.
That's why I say grace be multiplied, increase Amen. Through the knowledge.
Amen.
Of our Lord Jesus
Amen.
Christ. Therein is the gospel of our Lord Jesus revealed.
Reviews, yes.
From what?
From faith.
Revelation to revelation to revelation to revelation.
Yes,
God bless you.
Hallelujah. All right. So we already have questions coming in. So let's go right straight. Let's go straight to the questions. This is from Sister Juicy from Zaria saying, Shalom, sir. What's the difference between bishop and deacon? According to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, what does it mean to desire the work of a bishop? Since it's God that calls to the ministry. Then I'm also asking, apostle said, whosoever did not work should not eat. But today you see people go into ministry depending on church fund. Is it proper? So 4, why do your member and minister spread money on singers doing church service? Is it not worldly and against God's will? Or are they not bringing worldliness to church? Okay, let's go back to question
let's, 1. Let's start the first one. What's the first question again?
It's asking what's the difference between a bishop and a deacon?
A bishop is a church leader and usually is referred to the fivefold ministry. A deacon is not part of the fivefold ministry. It's for administrative purpose, welfare purpose. And while the other takes care of the spiritual.
Amen.
Yes.
All right, question 2. Still on the sister. Yes, she's saying, so when the Bible says that, what does it mean to desire the work of a bishop? Since it's God that calls to ministry. So she's wondering, how can God be calling and then somebody still desire this? So if God doesn't call you,
Now, he did not say you should desire the office of a bishop.
Okay.
What that scripture is actually saying is that all of you that are desiring to serve God in this capacity, know that before you are qualified, there is qualification for it.
Amen.
Now, but listen, you know, God calls. I want you to note that God calls. Now, but you will also see that the call of God, first, it begins with a grace for the work he's calling you to do.
Okay.
So ordination is actually identifying with
the grace or the call.
The call on somebody. So he is already called, it is seen.
Okay.
Then you give a hand of fellowship.
Okay.
And then he's released to go and do whatever God calls him to do. So first and foremost, the gift is seen. The grace is seen. But sometimes, people misplace their calling. And that is what Apostle Paul is trying to say. Look, there's a responsibility that goes with a certain call. And then he leads them to Titus. He leads them to Timothy. Because they are going to ordain people that is positionally place them in their various offices. So, there are people that would desire it, and that is just a guide. Don't just go into there are things that go with it. Even if you desire, this is the qualification.
Okay.
It's just setting the church in order, and it's still part of a ministry of Christ Himself, setting things in order
Amen.
Through the ministries that are responsible for that.
Amen. Amen. I believe certainly if a lot of people understand this, which the pastor has said, it will actually, the Bible, Apostle Paul was saying there should be no schism
in the body. In the yes. body. The second question, there are many questions.
Yes, there's a third question. The third question says, Apostle Paul said, whosoever did not walk should not eat. But today you see people going to ministry depending on the church fund. Is it proper?
Of course. The person asking knows it is not proper. Okay. You know, the person knows it is not proper.
Okay.
The person calling knows it is not proper. So, you know.
All right, let's take the last question. The last question, question four, says, why do your member and minister spread money on singers doing church service? Is it not worldly and against God's will? Or are they not bringing worldliness to the church?
Well, I don't know why you call that worldly, because when you show appreciation to somebody, to encourage the person to do what he's doing, is not worldly.
Okay. All right.
God bless you.
God bless you, sir. All right. From Libya, I think that should be Sister Peace, saying, good evening, Pastor Moses Alu. For some time now, I have been following your teaching on water baptism. And you said that baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is wrong. That any person that baptized like that need to go and rebaptized in the name of Jesus. My question is, what of marriage that was joined in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Should a couple do their wedding again in the name of Jesus?
No. No. Now, when it comes to marriage, the wedding that you had in the church, that is not what made you couples, husband and wife, legally. Okay. What the Christian faith, we know at the Christian faith,
yes,
you become the husband, you become the wife, you become legally married to your husband, to your wife, when the man pays the dowry and the parents release the girl.
Amen.
Now, coming to church, whatever you do in the church is just formalities, Christian tradition. It's not a commandment. There's no commandment like that in the Bible. So I want you to know that it is just prayer. You come to pray. And there are people that pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. What Revelation does is that, you know, we're talking about relationship with God, not religion. You know, a lot of us, what we are suffering from is just, you know, spirit of religion, nothing more, religion.
All right. So that really answers that question. And that brings to mind the program that was held, and that is the I Must Marry program. Mm. A lot of things was really, 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 really said. A lot of things were said. And we are really hoping that the brethren practice them.
Sure.
Ready to practice them.
Yeah, we try to help the people, you know, to have, you know, to make proper choice of partners. Mm-hmm. Because if you have a wrong marriage, then you start your hell from it. It will not be their portion in Jesus' name.
Amen. Okay, we have a call. Brother Sunday from Nasarawa State. Brother Sunday.
It's a regular caller, it looks.
Brother Sunday from Nasarawa State. Shalom.
Yeah.
All right, God bless. You can go on with your question, Brother Sunday.
Thank you. God bless you too, Brother Sunday.
Yeah. Daddy, I have heard your message. And the problem I am facing now is I went to meet my wife to collect daddy, and they say they are not ready now. So in that situation, what are we doing now?
They say they are not ready.
Yes, they say they are not. If they are ready, they will let me know.
You are living with a woman you didn't pay dowry. That's what you are saying.
Yeah.
And you are making efforts to pay the dowry to correct that error. Is that?
Yeah, I'm telling them that I will pay everything, but they say they are not ready.
That's what I'm saying. Now, what you are telling us is you are making effort to pay. It is the parents that are delaying it. Yes, so continue with the effort. Continue to tell, go and tell them that you are not comfortable with their daughter, you know, staying with you without you paying dowry. They should, you know, find out the traditional requirement, put pressure on them, and they'll surely give you a date to come and do that. God bless you. And God knows you are making effort. That is very important. To correct the error. Remember, God is interested in repentance. So, you know, yeah. So when you have this kind of heart you are displaying, that's good.
We have no more bondage program. Hello?
Yes, I'm hearing you.
No more bondage program. So we used to attend it in my house, and one woman called, she had to go on bed. When she called, she take the water. Her stomach starts calling her.
Wow. Congratulations. now remember that we don't preach water, we preach Christ. So it is not the water that healed, it was her faith in the prayers you offered that delivered her. And I pray that your faith will increase, and don't depend on the water. Remember, it is anything. God can use anything to heal, anything to deliver.
Yes, sir.
When you see people have problem like that, try to just lay a hand on them and pray. And then God will also confirm that he will honor your faith to just like that. So that we don't let the people's faith rest on the water, but that the faith will rest on the word of God.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
God bless you, Brother Sunday. God bless you, and God bless you, viewers. It's also an interesting thing, just as Brother Sunday said, when programs are going on right here, make sure you invite others to join, like this question and answer is going on. Invite other people, tell them to join online, the social media platforms. That's true. It's actually, we're streaming on all our social media platforms. So join, make sure you inform others. Yeah. All right, if we have other questions. All right, Shalom, Pastor. Please, at what point was Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 fulfilled? The part where he suddenly came to his temple. Was it when Gabriel pronounced to Mary at his birth, or was it at the baptism? And this is Brother Christian from the Netherlands. At what point was it fulfilled?
Let's see Malachi chapter 3, verse 1.
Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me.
Now, who is the messenger? John the Baptist. John the Baptist is that messenger, okay?
Yeah.
Read on.
And he shall prepare the way before me.
That is exactly what was doing, fulfilling Isaiah 14.
And the Lord whom ye seek.
Now, the God that you are worshipping
shall suddenly come to his temple.
He will suddenly come to his temple.
Even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in.
Uh-huh.
Behold, he shall come, seeth the Lord of hosts.
So when was it fulfilled? It was fulfilled in Matthew chapter 3 at the baptism of Jesus. John the Baptist was baptizing as, you know, the ministry of preparing the way for the coming of the Lord. And this Lord whom you serve walked to John the Baptist. John the Baptist saw him in Matthew chapter 3 from verse 13.
Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and cometh thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness.
Because scriptures must be fulfilled. And fulfill all righteousness, you have already introduced him as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The Lamb has to be washed to be prepared for the sacrifice. Okay?
Then he suffered him. And Jesus, verse 16, when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened.
Lord, whom thou seek, suddenly come to him.
Messenger of the covenant.
And
lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.
He said he will suddenly come into his temple. That is why you see in John chapter 2, And verse 19, the Lord Jesus Christ made that statement. And he said, Jesus
John 2, answered, 19, yes. He says, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building.
They were looking at the physical building.
And without raised up in 3 days. But he spake of the temple of his body.
So his body is the temple that the God whom you seek suddenly came into through what took place in the water baptism.
So it wasn't at birth.
It was not at birth. That scripture was fulfilled exactly at his baptism.
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless you. So I believe that answers your question. Let's keep the questions coming. All right. This is from Zimbabwe, Brother Victor. More grace to you, sir. Pastor, in your sermon yesterday, you said that Judas Iscariot is our brother and we will see him in heaven. But in Matthew 26, verse 24, it seemed Jesus Christ, our Lord, wasn't happy with him. Can you explain that? And we have another question.
Matthew, so, what? What 26, did he say?
26, verse 24.
Okay, go ahead.
It says, the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born.
Yes.
So this question, let's have the question again. It seems Jesus Christ was not happy with him. Can you explain why you still then say that Jesus Iscariot is our brother and we'll see him in heaven?
From the way he ended his life, can't you see how horrible it was? He felt so guilty about what he did. So I think all these have been answered in my message.
Yes, eternal security. A case study of Judas Iscariot.
The title.
Yes.
Eternal security, a case study of Judas Iscariot.
So you can actually visit our YouTube.
Also, another message. I think that should be the part 3 or so. No, of the verses of the Lord. Yes. A sermon titled The Verses of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
And I mentioned there that there are 3 types of verses.
Yes.
I said there are verses of honor, verses of dishonor. I said there are borrowed verses.
Yes,
but I say among verses of honor, there is a special vessel of honor.
Yes.
And that Judas fell within that category. So
Amen.
Much until another special vessel of honor is a harlot. Rahab the harlot. The lineage of Jesus Christ is traced to Rahab the harlot. God bless you.
All right. So that gives you the answer. Now, there's a second question from the brother. All right. It says, in the story of Lazarus and the rich man in Luke 16 verse 29, Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. What exactly did he mean, sir? Brother Victor from Zimbabwe.
It means the law and the prophets, the prophecies there.
Okay.
Prophets that were guiding them and the law that Moses gave them, the Old Testament.
Amen. All right, so that actually gives you answer to the question. Let's keep the questions coming in. And we have another question. Shalom, sir. Please bear these 2 questions with me and answer them. Why will people receive or have good revelations and dreams and are praying for 5 years and those revelations are not fulfilling? And when we see one bad revelation, even when you pray against it, it will come to pass. That brings discouragement and depression.
Now when you say this, you are trying to generalize it as if it is a norm in the Christian faith. If you experience that, I don't experience it. And this is a fallout of lack of understanding of how the Spirit of God moves. When God gives you a promise, there is always an appointed time. And he said, the vision, though the vision may tarry,
yes.
But what are you supposed to do?
You should wait for it. It should certainly come to pass.
At its appointed time, it shall come to pass.
Yes, sir.
So, even the bad one, it has its appointed time if you don't fight it away.
I could also say that for that particular person, especially from the angle in which you are bringing, the person should probably also look at it from the angle of, that bad one, the fact that it happens speedily, is God giving the person a warning before it happens.
Exactly.
To prepare the person's mind. This is going to happen. Since you know it always happens so fast, so prepare your mind.
Prepare your mind even as you fight it and things like that. Yeah. So it's a question of faith.
All right. So question number two from the same person. Many prophets pray for him and his wife, but for many years, and there's still no solution.
What is there anything that says a prophet must pray for you?
The question still continues.
But there is no solution.
Then when you call the same prophet 1 or 2 months later, they will prophesy the same thing and even give you instructions to follow. But after that, your situation will get worse. It brings serious discouragement and frustration. Brother Deform from Cotonou.
Now, in Deuteronomy chapter
18.
Chapter number 18, verse 21.
Verse 21. And if thou say in thy heart,
yes,
how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken?
Yes.
When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is a thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him.
And sometimes you take our faith away from God and place that faith on man called a prophet. When you do that, then you are subjecting yourself to confusion. Sometimes we display our faithlessness by going from one prophet to the other, one prophet to the other. And the greatest prophet we know that we should go to is Prophet Jesus.
Certainly, sir.
And when you make him secondary, then be ready for confusion. We walk by faith.
Not by sight.
Not by sight. And our faith must rest on the unfailing word of promise of God.
Amen.
Remember that in 1 John 5 verse 14, it says, this is the confidence that we have. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So what? Once you are praying, you are sure it is according to the will of God, just be patient, and at the appropriate time it will come to pass. Do you imagine that how God would have answered Elizabeth? How that, do you remember that she stayed for so long before that promise of John that she must have seen in dream and the rest came to pass? Okay, maybe let me remind you of Sarah. God himself came and told Abraham. But that promise did not come to pass, according to theology, until 25 years after. But if God speaks, it will come to pass. So sometimes we should not conclude that they are false, except they give you a date, and the date doesn't come to pass. And I hope too that our prophets, wherever they are around the world, those of you who give messages, make sure you don't give the message and leave the people in anxiety. Thank you, Brother Deform from Benin Republic. And I know that you have had a lot of testimony over your life, and your testimonies have never come from prayer from anybody. You have always stood in the word of God, acted on faith, and God has always answered you. So keep on like that. Right. There's a call coming.
Yes. From Benue State, Brother Dominic. Brother Dominic, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, God bless you.
Can... God bless you, sir.
God bless you. Can go on with your question, sir.
And, sir, my first question is that Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1, I talk about
strange fire.
Children of Aaron.
Yes.
Offer God sacrificed with a strange fire. So what is the strange fire presenting there?
I also preach a message that I titled The Strange Fire.
Yes, sir.
When you say something is strange, what do you mean? Anything at all? Who is a stranger? It's one that it's an outsider.
Yes, sir.
It's not an insider. It's not part of the family. Now, if God puts a certain way you should serve him, and you go to import another way outside of what he has defined for you according to the setting. You are bringing something else in addition to what he has told you to do, to enhance or to whatever purpose. It is strange. And strange fire exists even now. There are people that are operating as ministers of God with anointing from the occult. If you are using that anointing at the pulpit, it is a strange fire. We are to depend on the fire of the Holy Ghost, not fire from the occult. When you bring that to the pulpit, you bring that to Christianity, that is God causes strange. That is why we are forbidden from going to what do you call them? Astrologers, sorcerers, and all the babalawos. You know them. We are forbidden because they have a fire, but that fire is not from God. They have a gift. And so if you go there and they tell you what to do, and you come to add it to your faith in God, you are bringing in a strange fire, and the Bible forbids it. God forbids it.
And you can also understand that question, the answer to your question clearly, when you start from verse 24 of Leviticus chapter 9. It says, "And there came a fire out from before the Lord, and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces." Glory was already being given to God.
Yes.
Because God's original fire came forth. So there was no need for the priest to actually set up another fire.
Right.
As we see in Leviticus 10 verse 1. They had already seen, and you know that God would never share his glory with anyone. So then trying to on another fire again, when God's fire had already come down, definitely God will not share his glory with anyone. And in the Old Testament, God was not as lenient as he is with us in the time of grace. All right, please go on with your questions. If you have another question, Brother Dominic.
After I come back, I meet one of my senior pastors, and I discuss with him about the water baptism. So he was telling me, pointing me at many people, like Kumuye, people like that carry that stick or tithe in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I still meet one of General Garcia. The General Garcia make me to know that the apostles are at error. Well, my question here is that it's becoming very difficult to me now to see, maintain with my ministry with this understanding of the gospel. So,
what is your question?
And my question is, much of my members want to follow me.
Okay.
So what can I do?
So what can you do?
You are under a ministry.
Yes, it's Brother Dominic, sir, the brother that visited last time that lived in Zoe's house.
Yes, you want to leave the ministry you are in now.
Yes, sir.
Because you are serving under a denomination.
That is regime.
Now, I want you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ said you cannot take new wine and put in old bottles. So what will happen if you put new wine in old bottles? You say it will burst. You can't take this revelation to that statue setting and expect that they will contain it. It will scatter them. And what the end time message says is come out of error. You are to resign and leave them. That is what you learn from Exodus 21 about the Jubilee. Leave them with their property, leave them with whatever it is, and go and preach the truth. If you go to preach the truth and any other person comes to join you, the person is coming because he has seen what you have seen. He has seen the light. So you are saying that it is their member. What do you mean their member? You are taking them out. Don't take any member away. Go and preach. And anybody that comes to join you is not coming to join you. for any other reason other than that he has seen what you have seen. That was what happened with Luther, with the Catholics. They saw what Luther preached to be the truth and they pulled out of the Catholicism and followed the light. And the Bible said, come out of them. Go out and serve the Lord by the scriptures. They are serving Lord by their creeds and their dogmas. They have no place for the leadership of the Spirit. They have blocked themselves from further light. The light have moved away from them and they have become statue. Nothing in them anymore to see this truth, biblical truth, and correct. What they are supposed to do is just correct, that's all. What is wrong with them, with somebody correcting an error? Instead, they want to defend and justify it, even in the face of the scriptures. That tells you where they belong. So anyone that follows you, welcome him very well and correct all the error. Baptize the person, correct water baptism, minister the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and guide them with the scriptures, and you have not committed sin. If they are angry with you, God will be clapping for you. The whole heaven will be clapping for you. God bless you.
Yes, sir. Sir, you are the command of my channel of affair now, sir.
God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, God bless you. I believe we still have other questions coming in. Shalom, Pastor Moses Alu and Brother Godson. Here is my question. Is morality the same as the righteousness of God?
No.
Can a moral person inherit the kingdom of God?
No.
Brother Binga from
Because Georgia. It is called self-righteousness, and before the Lord, it is as filthy rags. Isaiah says so. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you. So let's still have other questions. All right. Greetings, Pastor Moses and my elder brother. What a wonderful program. I want to ask on these scriptures, Genesis chapter 9, verse 22, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. Genesis 9, 23, but Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away and they did not see their father's nakedness.
Yes.
Leviticus 18 verse 8, the nakedness of your father's wife you shall not uncover. It is your father's nakedness. What did Ham do based on these scriptures? Brother Ezra from
He Daniel. Slept with his father's wife. The scripture you quoted now even has answered it. Simple. You can see that also in Leviticus chapter 20 verse 11.
I'm sure somebody is saying, eh?
You can see that also in Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 30. And remember, let's read that of Deuteronomy 27 verse 20.
Okay. Verse 20, it says, cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, because he uncovereth his father's skirt, and all the people shall say amen.
Does that not answer it?
Yes.
Now, you know the story of Reuben. If you go to Genesis 35 and verse 22.
Verse 22 says, yes. And it came to pass when Israel dwelt in the land that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel had it.
Now, if you go to Genesis 49, verse 3 and verse 4, Reuben.
49, 3 and 4.
Yes.
Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength.
When he was blessing his children, when he came to Reuben, this is what he had to say.
The excellence of dignity and the excellence of power, unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defiled thou it. He went up to my coach.
And that is what he did in Genesis 35, correct?
Yes, sir. So it's actually clear.
Ham slept with his father's wife. God bless you.
Somebody's going to say, but wait first, go through the scriptures. The scriptures actually have given you the answer. So let's keep the questions coming. And we have Brother Moses from Adamawa State. Brother Moses, shalom.
Hello. Good evening, sir.
God bless you. Good evening.
Yeah, shalom, sir.
Shalom. Bless you, Brother Moses.
Yeah, my question is that Is there any biblical reference on those who pay tithes? Anointing them? Yes.
Anointing those who pay tithes?
Yes.
If there's a special blessing.
Did you say special blessing or scripture?
No. Is it a law to anoint them? Because I saw that there is a promise after you pay tithe.
Now the tithe is an obligation for every believer.
Yes.
And remember that you are doing it as unto the Lord, and when you obey a scripture, automatically, whether somebody prays for you or not, the blessing that followed that action of obedience to that scripture follows that person automatically. So whether you are prayed for or not, the blessings will follow you.
It's okay.
God bless.
I see you people are anointing those who pay tithe.
Yes.
And we are practicing it now. We are in Ghana.
No.
I wonder if I just pay my tithe without a pastor anointing me, is it wrong?
No. It's just our own way here that every offering that is brought physically during service, we use the opportunity to bless the people. And if you hear me, I will always say that these people are a point of contact to all else around the world, paying tithe into our ministry. It's a point of contact for all of them.
Okay.
It's our obligation. We as ministers, like the Levites, we as ministers, it is our responsibility to pray for those who are also supporting our ministry with their tithes, their offerings, and whatever else. So everything you give to our ministry, we want to make sure that you receive the full benefit. If God called me and you are encouraging me to go ahead with my ministry, supporting my ministry, it is my obligation to be praying for you. And that is exactly what we do.
Okay, thank you, sir.
God bless you.
So if I pay tithe, I do not need to be anointed by any man.
No. But make sure you tell the Lord that you are paying your tithe in prayer.
It's okay, thank you, sir.
God bless you, Brother Moses.
God bless you, Brother Moses.
Question?
All right. Okay, there's a question already from Germany. Good evening, sir. Pastor, please, sir, I would like you to please advise me on the area of prophecy. For example, when prophecy is given to someone many times and the prophecy keep on coming upside down instead of coming true. In this situation, sir, please, what advice do you have to give the person that the prophecy is coming to but not manifesting? Please, sir, because I am really worried, Brother Victor from Germany.
I think your question, if I take it as a scriptural question, if God speaks, he watches over his word to perform it.
Amen.
And if somebody gives a revelation and the opposite takes place, then it is either he did not understand what he saw before he spoke, or speaking presumptuously. If it is God that speaks, sometimes the truth is that we gifted people, those of us who have gifts, we should be more prayerful, especially the gifts, these utterance gifts, and these word of knowledge gifts, the prophetic gifts, those of us who hear voices. We are only channels, and if you are not careful, the devil will come to mess up that channel. And then before you know what, God uses you and Satan also manipulates that channel. That is why when you, every gifted person, if I give you a revelation and it doesn't come to pass as I saw it, if I actually saw it and it doesn't come to pass as I said it, and I said it as I saw it, if I'm sincere, I will withdraw. I say, something is wrong. I will lose confidence on the source of that inspiration. And so when that happens, if you are the one prophesying, it is time for you to take a retreat. And if it is the person giving you, then go and tell the person, advise the person, something is wrong with this, your channel, the jam, good and bad, they come out from you, something is wrong. And the person should be sincere enough and not to be angry or try to defend his error. So nothing to be confused there. The person giving the message, the one that has the problem, God will never give us revelation and create problem. God bless you.
God bless you. And let's also remember, there's a message pastor took as a Christian retreat.
A retreat that was taken
during the lockdown, the COVID lockdown. It's something you need to actually listen to. Brother Tayo from Ekiti State. Brother Tayo, God bless you.
Thank you, sir. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. You can go on with your question, sir.
Yes, sir. I want to, first of all, appreciate pastor for the 8 year.
Amen.
The private assembly in general.
Bless God, sir.
Yes, I tried to cover during the last something, but
okay.
I was unable to get through.
Well, we're glad you got through this time around.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the encouragement from you. God bless you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Well, Natalia from Ekiti. My area of concern is this, sir. About the aspect of prophecy.
Okay.
Yes, I do listen to some of the prophecy from the prophet, even from
Brother Samuel. Yes.
I observe that the way they give the prophecy in detail, in form of ABC to Z without losing anything or any aspect. I am a bit baffled because I don't understand how can the prophecy be source, detailed, accurate, and I am still not yet clear, sir.
What is confusing about it that they give with the accuracy with which they give?
Yes.
They are not the ones speaking. They are telling you what they are seeing and what they are hearing. So why are you surprised that God does not know those details? Is there any detail about any human being that God doesn't know?
Yes. There is actually no any detail.
Yes. Remember that among the fivefold ministries, the office of a prophet.
Yes.
And if we have pastors like Pastor Moses that can tear down the understanding of the word of God without going to a Bible school, depending on inspiration from God, that is my own. A prophet too has the same grace if he's actually a prophet ordained by God for that with that gift. He will also tell you exactly what God is telling you. And if you notice, it's not a big deal to us here because we are properly schooled in this ministry. And all the prophets know in this church that if you give a prophecy that does not come to pass, you know that you'll be in trouble. So and nobody wants to be tagged that Satan talks through him or her. So everyone is properly tutored. Remember that this is the restoration ministry. It is either the real thing or nothing. God bless you.
God bless you, Brother Tayo.
Amen.
Amen. You're welcome, Brother
Tayo.
Thank you,
Brother Tayo. God bless you.
And to put a scripture to that, you see Luke chapter 1, verse 26. You see the specific nature in which God deals with the individual. Verse 26 says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God." And this was a detail that Angel Gabriel went
he
with.
He gave details.
Said, unto a city of Galilee. Not just any Galilee. Named Nazareth. Not just Nazareth. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph.
Very special.
Of the house of David. Yes. And the virgin's name was Mary.
Yes.
So it's the same pattern in which God is still speaking and giving his accuracy
yes.
as he speaks through his servants. God bless you, Brother Tayo. God bless you. God bless you. Now, let's keep the questions coming in. Okay. Shalom, sir. Please, Daddy, I want to know why in John chapter 19, verse 23, the description of how the coat of Jesus was made, does it have any significance on our home going? Sister Clara Joseph from Abuja.
Let's read it. John 19:23.
John 19:23 says, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. So the question is, does it have anything to do with our home going? Because a bit of detail I was giving concerning the coat.
No, there is nothing there. If they parted, it means it was a beautiful coat. That's all. But the emphasis of that is the next verse.
Says, they said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be
that
fulfilled.
That is it, because it is a fulfillment of scripture, so that you will just see that as scripture prophecy was being fulfilled. Say what?
Which says, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots.
So
these things therefore the soldiers did.
So it is not for any special reason. They all saw it, and they just felt, this coat is fine, let's not tear it. Okay, since everybody likes it. I mean, remember that they were Roman soldiers, they were not Jews. So you have to look at it that way.
All right, God bless you. So let's keep the questions coming in. Brother Boris from Cameroon. Brother Boris, God bless you. Shalom.
Yeah.
God bless you. You can go on with your question.
I wish to ask, if a child dies beyond the age of accountability, would that child make heaven? And from what age can you consider to be the age of accountability?
The age of accountability is the age enough for that child to know good, right from wrong. Right from wrong. And to be able to come to a decision, I mean, a period where the person can independently decide to follow the Lord or not. And so there is no age to say, what is the age limit. I didn't see that in the Bible. So if the child dies, I believe this is where grace comes in. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covers that child. I believe so. Amen. God bless you.
God bless you, sir. God bless you, Brother Boris. Let's keep the calls coming in and our questions through SMS or WhatsApp. Good evening, Pastor. I am asking from Doha, Qatar. I'm a minister in a church over here. I have a fellow minister that we are very close. He's a follower of your ministration and that of Gino Jennings. He is a strong believer in what Jesus handed over to the apostles and what they practiced. He ignited in me the passion for Christ and faith in apostolic doctrines, that if I minister in the church I belong after my administration, the pastor will water it down. I have lost interest in Pentecostal way of running the church and their emphasis, but I am pressured to remain, but my spirit is no longer there. What shall I do, men and brethren?
You have lost interest in the Pentecostal way of running the church,
and their emphasis.
But I'm being pressured to do what?
To remain there.
Who is pressuring you? Is it the Holy Ghost pressuring you to remain there? That is religion disturbing you, not revelation. The revelation that brings you into the ministry, revelation will follow. Look, you follow revelation, follow the light anywhere it goes. Amen. The light moves away from where you are, you better move with the light. God bless you.
And what happens if you don't move with the light?
Of course. Exodus chapter 21
Yes.
is fulfilled. You will remain there forever. Sleep forever. God bless you.
God bless you. And we pray that will never be your portion and the portion of any other person in such circumstance.
Amen.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned. God bless you.